The book of Job, then, tonight, and the chapter 22. I want to leave with you the verses 21 through to 23. Job 22, verses 21 through to 23. Acquaint now thyself with him, and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. Receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth, and lay up his words in thine heart. If thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. Thou shalt put away iniquity far from thy tabernacles. I would entitle this portion of Scripture tonight, "No God." That's how I would summarize these verses. No God. Acquaint yourself with the Lord. Remember how the Lord Jesus said, "This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." And here in our text tonight, there are words here that lead us in that direction, that lead us in the direction of getting to know the Lord, getting acquainted with the Savior. And that's what I want to speak about. The words were actually spoken by a man called Eliphaz. Chapter 22 is his closing counsel, which he gave to poor, tried Job. There are at least four men sitting around Job that are named in this book, four who spoke. And the man of God in the midst of them, he's smitten with grief. His health is broken. His heart is sad. And Eliphaz seems to be the oldest. He was the first to speak from among the four. And this is the third time he speaks in the book. And it's also the last time he speaks. Now, I think Eliphaz is a good man. He's knowledgeable. He's well-meaning. But he has not the gift of discernment. And he's a little self-righteous. And he has grown very impatient with Job. And each of his speeches has got more intense, and he has become more harsh, because he has made a wrong judgment on Job's character. And Eliphaz is really standing on a wrong premise when he thinks that. He has judged Job to be a great secret sinner. And yet what he says is true, especially here in our text. It's true enough what he says. If Job was that sinner who had left God, it would even be very appropriate to Job. That's good counsel if Job was unconverted. But of course, he's a saved man. A simple outline of verses 21 through to the end of the chapter, verse 30, is first of all the counsel to return to God, and then the benefits of doing so. We're not able to focus on both heads tonight. We can't look at the benefits of returning to God. But I do want to look at the counsel to return to God and to know God, to become acquainted with the Lord. That's what we want to focus on tonight. This advice which Eliphaz gives Job, in itself it's good advice. The words are sound words. Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Job himself would not even find fault in those words taken in themselves. The Holy Spirit is not drawing attention to the heart of Eliphaz, which is wrong, but he's drawing attention to the words of Eliphaz, which are right and which are true. And it's the words that we're thinking about tonight, because, you know, God can bring water out of a rock, and he can bring inspired words out of Balaam's donkey, and we are sure that he can bring inspired words even out of a mistaken man such as Eliphaz, and that's the case. And so these are true words tonight that I want to leave with you. This is the path to knowing God. This is the way to get to know the Lord. This is the path for sinners to begin to take, to know and become familiar with the Father and with the Son and with the Holy Spirit, And this is the same path for saints to grow in that acquaintance and knowledge of God. And that's the way that I want to look at it tonight. You see, this business of knowing the Lord, it has a beginning, but it also has a continuance. It's a business that has to begin when the sinner becomes a sinner coming to Christ, but it's a business that has to continue and to go on. And the saint is to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So yes, we must begin it to know God, but we must also continue daily to know Him. And this is the path, knowing God. Acquaint now thyself with Him and be at peace. Receive, I pray thee, the law from His mouth, and lay up His words in thine heart. If thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. Thou shalt put away iniquity far from thy tabernacles. So we're looking at that text. And in looking at it, I'm going to not follow the order of the words. I'm not going to begin at verse 21, but I'm going to begin at verse 23, and then we'll go to 21 and to 22. And I think we can do that. I know we're breaking the order of the words, but I think we can do that because verse 23 begins with an if. And that if implies that there's a kind of a recapitulation, a repetition of similar ideas as are found in verse 21. So verse 21 is similar to verse 23, and we're beginning at verse 23 tonight. How do we begin to know God? Well, the first thing is, verse 23, return to the Almighty. That's where you begin. We begin with the necessity of returning to the Almighty. God here is called the Almighty. It's a very interesting name for God. It occurs about 50 times in the Old Testament scriptures. And God Himself first revealed this name because He appeared to Abraham. Whenever Abraham was 99 years of age, the Lord appeared to him and the Lord said to him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. You want to know me, Abraham? I'm the Almighty. You have to walk before me. You have to be perfect before me. You have to have fellowship with me. And He revealed Himself to Abraham as the Almighty. And as I said, 50 times occurring in the Old Testament scriptures, and well over half of those occasions are in the book of Job. Most of them are in the book of Job. He's called the Almighty. This is a favorite name for God in the book of Job. And the frequent use of that name there shows us that this is an ancient book, that it goes back perhaps way before Moses and even to the time perhaps of Abraham, the time when God revealed this name and it became familiar to men. You know, God is the most powerful being in the universe. He is the only being who is almighty. He is not a being you want to be at war with. He's not a being that you want to be in conflict with. And that's why Eliphaz uses that name. You need to return to God because, you see, He is the Almighty. You can't be at war with Him. You can't be in opposition to Him. You just can't. He's the Almighty. Who can be at enmity with the Almighty? And that's why God appeared to Abram and said, I'm the Almighty God. You have to walk before me, Abram. How are you going to get a child otherwise? How are you going to get help in this world without me? I'm the Almighty. And so it's used again in verse 25 in Job 22. Yea, the Almighty shall be thy defense. If you return to Him, if you be reconciled to Him, He'll be for you, He'll be with you. He'll not be against you. He'll be your shield. He'll be your defense. And so you see why Eliphaz uses it. You have to return to the Almighty. You have to know the Almighty, because those who don't know God will be destroyed. You remember how the Bible says, coming with flaming fire and vengeance against them who know not God. And so that's how you have to know the Almighty. And that's the problem with sinners, they don't. And this is where the sinner has to begin, to return. You have to return to God. Sinners are far away from God, you see. They've been separated by sin, and they're wandering off further and further away from God into the far country with their back to God. And the only way to begin to know Him is to get back again, to return, to leave the far country and to come back to God and come back to the Lord. This is the only way sinners can know the Lord. And this is why sinners don't have the knowledge of God, because they're far away from God. How can you know someone you're far away from? You can only know someone who you're in the company with. You can only know someone who you're under the same roof with. You can only know someone who you're in fellowship with. And if you're far away from God, you cannot know Him. And you have to leave the far country. You have to come back. You have to come back to God. You have to come back to the Lord. And so the distance prevents the fellowship. And only in the fellowship is there knowing God. And to get the fellowship, you have to come into the presence of God. And so the Lord says to you tonight, return to the Almighty. Come back to God. Return to the Lord. Seek ye the Lord, the prophet Isaiah said, while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him. And to our God to return, and He will abundantly pardon him. Hosea 14, verse 1. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words and return to the Lord. It's a path for the sinner. He has to get back to God. And it's the same path for the backslider. Because sometimes even God's people wander far off. You remember how prodigal, how the son of the father, how he wandered far off. He gathered all his substance that was given to him of the father. And what did he do? He took his journey into a far country. He went far away from his father's house, far away, and he lived in riotous living. And then after many years, he came to himself. Because the Lord awakened him and opened his eyes. And one day he said, I have sinned against heaven and earth. I will return again unto my Father. And maybe he'll take me in and make me as one of his hired servants. And he did. He returned back again. He returned to his father's house. And you remember the story when his father saw him a great way off. He ran to him and had compassion upon him and fell on his neck and kissed him. And he knew his father again because he returned. Oh, you don't know the Lord the way you should until you return again. You've forgotten what the Father's like. You've forgotten the compassion. You've forgotten the embrace. You've forgotten the kisses upon your neck. Ah, but if you return again, you'll remember them again and you'll know them. You need to get back to the Savior and cleave unto Him. Return to the Almighty is the first step. But then it adds, thou shalt put away iniquity far from thy tabernacles. And that's the next expression, put away. Put away sin, put away iniquity. You see, parallel with that return, there must be a putting away of sin. There must be repentance in returning to the Father's house. You see, you can't return with your idols. You can't. You have to put them away. You have to put away your idols. You have to put away your iniquity. You can't come. You can't return again to the Father's house holding your sins. No, you have to put them away. Put them all away. And repentance involves both aspects. Coming to Christ and putting away iniquity, leaving sin. Eliphaz is right. He's so right. Though, as I have said, he's wrong in his application and the way he's thinking about Job, who is a godly man, and even more godly than Eliphaz himself, as this book tells us. Remember how Paul said to Timothy, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Put it away. You're not going to know God until you put it away. You're not going to know the Lord. You're not going to get that deep acquaintance with the Savior until it's put away, until all your idols are put away. They have to be removed. To know God, you have to put away sin. You remember how Joshua said, now, put away the strange gods, Israel. Those strange gods which are among you, put them away and incline your heart unto the Lord your God. That's what you have to do. You're not going to know the Lord any other way. Those idols of your heart, they have to be put away. And your heart has to be inclined unto the Lord. Do you remember Eli saw Hannah? He was quite mistaken as well. Though if he had been right in imputing drunkenness to her, he would have been quite right, but he was mistaken. Nevertheless, it's true. How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. Now, he was wrong about her. She wasn't drunken. But if she had been, that was the true counsel. Put it away. You're here in God's house. You want to know the Lord, and you're drunk. Put it away. Put it away. It has to be put away. Remember how Proverbs says, put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. And we have to put away a perversity of speaking and perverse lips. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes, God says. Cease to do evil. You remember how Paul wrote to the Ephesians? Because sometimes even God's people need to be reminded things have to be put away. They lose the fellowship. They don't get grow in the knowledge of God the way they should. And maybe they wonder why they don't grow in the knowledge of God. Why am I not getting to know the Lord more? Why is he not becoming more reality in my life? Why am I not feeling that close communion and fellowship with my Savior? And Paul had to write to some of the believers, and he says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. Put it away. Put away all iniquity and all malice. Put it away. And child of God, you'll not grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ until you put away all these things. And notice what it says in the text. What does it say there? Put away iniquity far, far from thy tabernacles. You're to put it far away. You're not just to put it safe away. You're not just to put it near at hand so that you can easily come back to it. No, the Lord says far, far away. And the further away, the better. Put it far away. in fact, to leave it in that place from whence you came, to return to the Almighty. Better to leave it in that far off place as you come back to God. And so those sins you put far away from God, and now you must return and leave them behind. And the truth of the matter is, congregation, we can't put away sin far enough from us. But the further we put sin away, the more sincere it shows us to be. And the further away, the more safe a man is spiritually. Far away, Eliphaz says. And so the knowledge of God, men and women, and the practice of sin do not go together. Do you know that? The knowledge of God and the practice of sin do not go together. To know God, you have to put away sin and put it away far, far. Not only far from yourself, but notice what it says. Eliphaz is so wise. Put it far away from thy tabernacles, from your dwelling place, from your home, from the place where you rest and relax. Put it far away from there, because there it will be most dangerous. And so we're not only to put it far away from our heart, that is our affections, and far away from our head, that is our thoughts, and far away from our hands, which is our practice, but even far away from our home, which is where our family abides, far away from the house. You see, Job's ahead of a home, and repentance means that he must reprove and restrain the sin under his roof and in others who live with him. Remember how Jacob said unto his household, beyond that he could not go and had no power, but to his household he said, put away the strange gods. Imagine Jacob's household having strange gods. And he wonders why he's not going on with God. And so he has to say to his household, you have to put away the strange gods. Put them away. This expression's found so often in the Bible, isn't it? Not only must they be put away as to the practice of them, but the guilt and the stain that has been left on the heart and conscience by them must be put away. And the only thing that can put that away is the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. Put away the stain. Wash you and make you clean. Put away the guilt of your sins in the fountain of Christ's blood. Put them far away. And Christ's blood puts them far away into the sea of God's forgetfulness. This distinction between putting away the practice of sin and putting away the guilt of sin is seen in the story of David and Nathan, because you remember how Nathan came to David and brought the word of God to him, and David was awakened and he was made repentant, and he said, I have sinned against the Lord. That's his repentance. And he didn't commit adultery again. Put it away. And then Nathan said unto David, David, the Lord has also put away thy sin. So there's a twofold putting away. You have to put away the practice of it. And Jesus has to put away the guilt of it. And only Jesus can in his blood. And that's what the Bible teaches. Once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin, the Bible says, by the sacrifice of himself. Then thirdly, to know God, one must not only return to the Almighty and put away all iniquity far, but also, verse 21, one must acquaint himself with God. Acquaint now thyself with God. Begin this minute. Begin at this present time, even now in God's house. Acquaint now thyself with him. And the idea here in this word, acquaint, is to get to know the Lord's acquaintance, to obtain the knowledge of him, to become familiar with him, to return and put away sin, but then to fellowship, to become his friend. Don't you want to become the friend of God? To begin to delight in him. That means we have to put away our slavish fears of him, our slavish dread. And instead of dreading coming into his presence, instead of being prayerless and restraining prayer, to come into his presence and commune with him. And that takes time. You see, in a house, all are under the same roof. All are familiar with one another through interaction of fellowship, through the interaction of speaking together and talking together and eating together and fellowshipping together under the same roof. We, as families, get acquainted with one another in the family. But you must be under the same roof with God every day. You must be with him all the time. You must be seeking his face, spending time with him, getting to know him, listening to his word. You need to pray to him, to commune with him. You need to wait before him. You need to practice trust in him and just waiting before him and telling him and listening to him. Through his holy word, acquaint yourself with God. How else would you know him? But make him your friend. You don't need to be afraid. If you've returned to him and if you've put away sin and if you've your trust in Christ, you don't need to dread his presence. Begin to enjoy it. And so this acquaintance is essential. And closely connected with it is that expression, and be at peace. And that's the fourth thing. Yes, return. Yes, put away far your iniquities. Yes, acquaint yourself with the Savior. But also be at peace. And this is essential, congregation, because it's impossible to know God in an agitated state of mind. It's impossible to know God with a disturbed heart. It's impossible to know God with a guilty conscience. If a man thinks God is his enemy, if a man is in a state of dread and fear and torment, he cannot acquaint himself with God. And so in the process of getting to know the Lord, he must also grow in peace. Be at peace. You'll not know the Lord unless you know the peace. You see, first of all, to know God, you have to be at peace with him. With him. The war has to cease. The enmity has to be put away. The controversy with him has to end. You have to be reconciled to him. Be at peace with him. And that's where the sinner has to begin, in making peace with God. And how do you make peace with God? Through his Son, Jesus Christ. He is our peace. We poor sinners, how could we ever be at peace with the Holy God, the Almighty? There's a friend for sinners, Jesus Christ. There is a Savior. How can two walk together except they be agreed? But there's one who makes us to agree. There's one who reconciles us to God. It is the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. just through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so by our faith and trust in Christ, who receives sinners, who is the advocate of all the sinful who believe in him, we have peace and we have no need to dread our Heavenly Father. While Jesus Christ is our elder brother and our friend, the one who became man like us, and the one who died upon the tree for our sins, the all-sufficient Savior, the peacemaker, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, the Bible says. And the Lord says, let him take hold of my strength, that is of my Christ, that he may make peace with me, and I will make peace with him, saith the Lord. Ah, Christ Jesus, thou alone art our peacemaker. Thou art our peace who hath made both one and broken down the middle wall of partition, having abolished in thy flesh the enmity, and reconciled us unto God by thy cross. Be at peace by believing in Jesus. But not only must we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, there must be the peace of God to some degree in our minds and hearts. You see, dread and fear must be put away. And the gospel promises must be believed. And those gospel promises believed must drive away the fears and dread of our heart. And Christ must be trusted. And as we trust in him and have the peace, then we can be in a state of mind where we can grow in the knowledge of him. Peace in and with yourself is so important. You can't know the Lord in a disturbed state. Peace of conscience is essential. And you must bring that to the cross and to the all-atoning blood of Jesus Christ, which washes us from every sin. And by this way only you can grow in acquaintance with him. There are two further things very quickly that are contained in verse 22 as we want to progress in knowing God. Verse 22, receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth. You want to know God? Then receive the law from his mouth and lay up his words in thine heart. Now you'll notice that both these clauses refer to God's word, the law of his mouth and his words. Both relate to his word. The most essential thing in the knowledge of God is his word. How can you know anybody unless they speak to you? You get to know people when you talk with them, and you get to know God by listening to him, listening to his word. He has spoken, you see, the law of his mouth. He's not dumb. His words, he has speech, and in our attitude to them, we grow in the knowledge of him as we receive them. He has revealed himself by his word. He has made known his will by his word. And there's no knowing him if his word is bypassed. And so the first thing is, receive the law of his mouth. You want to know him? Then return to him. Put away your iniquities far. Acquaint yourself with him. Be at peace through his Son, Jesus Christ. But also the law of his mouth, you receive it. And that's the fifth thing. It is interesting that it is called law. Why does Eliphaz call it law? Because it's binding. It's morally binding. We are obligated to it. It must be received. It's the law of the Almighty. It must be obeyed. And he cannot be known in a path of disobedience. He cannot be known if you will not have him as your governor. And so Eliphaz speaks truly. And what is more, Eliphaz is probably speaking this before Sinai. Before the law was given, Sinai is probably still yet future. And yet this man talks about the law of his mouth. Because God speaks, and all creatures are under the government of God, and we all must be subject to his word. You cannot know God in a way of rebellion. And so the Christian is under law, not as a way to life, not as the way to peace. That is in the gospel. But as a rule of life to live by and to grow in the knowledge of God. Under God's roof, having made peace with him, having been reconciled to him, one must now listen to him and say, Lord, what wouldst thou have me to do? Waiting for his word. Waiting for his will, and when it is revealed, to receive it. And so receive it when you read Scripture. Receive it when you hear the preaching of the word. But there is more. And the last thing is, and lay up his words in thine heart. Lay them up in your heart as well. You see, the word must be received, but it must also be retained and kept. It must be kept and guarded and put in a place, in a very special place, where it will be most beneficial and most useful. And where is that place? It's your heart. Anything in your heart will get to you very quick and very closely. And God's word requires that very special place, your heart. If you value it and love it, you will not only receive it as the law of his mouth, but you'll also bring it in as gold and jewels into your very heart. And in the safety of our hearts, we will guard it there. You see, that's the only place where it really does us good. That's the only place where the word must go for us to know God, because we only know God in and through and by our hearts. And that's the only way he wants us to know him, because he wants us to love him with all our heart and all our strength and with all our might, to know him in our heart. And therefore, his words must get into our heart if we are to know him in and by our heart. You see, the head is not enough. It's not enough to get his words into your head. It's not enough to have the text of Scripture on our walls and on our mantelpieces. It's not enough to have the words written down in a book and to put them in a notepad with the pen. And the words in our Bible, it's not enough. We must get his words into our hearts. The good ground can only be a human heart. Of course, it has to be a certain kind of heart. A heart that has been weeded. A heart from which has been put all malice and all these things that cripple the effectiveness of the word. It has to be the good ground of an honest heart. And these words which I command you this day, our God says, thou shalt lay them up in thine heart. And the psalmist said, thy word have I hid in my heart, for only then will I not sin against thee, if therein they are contained. And you remember how the blessed mother of our dear Lord, even the Holy Virgin Mary, Do you remember how all these words, all these sayings around her child she heard? What did she do? She pondered them in her heart, because that's where she put them. It was so emotional at the time, the birth of the Christ child. She collected up all the words, and into her heart they went, and she pondered them. The Bible says his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. You want to know God? This is the path. There's no other path. This is the path to begin to know him. And this is the path we must stay on and continue on, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And may his Holy Spirit keep us on this path. And may we not wander from it until we enter into the heavenly Jerusalem itself and then see him face to face. And then we shall know him even as extensively as he knows us.